This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
In the next 19 seconds, you could sell your home. Okay, it's not going to sell your home, this, but you're going to take a big step toward getting it sold. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com and find an agent selected by my team, a professional who shares your values and speaks the truth. Sell your home fast and for the most money. Get moving at realestateagentsitrust.com.
The Buck Sexton Show.
You are entering the Blaze Threat Ops Center. This is a secure space. All outside comms are down. Prepare to receive the Buck Brief.
Joined now by Adam Credo. He is of the Washington Free Beacon, where he writes on national security matters. Adam, great to have you as always.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
So let's talk. We got a few things happening in the world of NatSec. First of all, Iran has made a high-speed intercept of a U.S. ship. People are saying this was a harassing maneuver. What's going on here?
Yeah, it is a harassing maneuver, to say the least. This is kind of part of the way Iran's behavior has only increased in aggression since the nuclear deal. They've done this more than one time. They routinely harass U.S. ships in the Persian Gulf area, and now we see this event. It's very similar behavior to that of their ally, Russia, who also routinely buzzes our planes and tries to cause general havoc. My question here is about the U.S. reaction. It said we set off some flares, et cetera. I'm wondering if a more aggressive response to this would have sent a real message to the Iranians.
And I'm assuming the administration doesn't want to hear any talk about how Iran continues to be more belligerent, to be more willing to sort of thumb its nose at America in the aftermath of this Iran deal that I thought was supposed to bring us all together and make us friends.
Precisely. I mean, that was the rhetoric here, bringing the Iranians into the community of nations, moderating their behavior. None of those things has happened since the nuclear deal. It's only emboldened the Iranians. They traveled to Latin America. They recently had a delegation over there meeting with Cuba, Venezuela, no friends of the U.S. They continue to cause destabilizing actions across the Middle East, their behavior in Syria, in Iraq, other words. And at the same time, also continue to fund their global terror operation. I know you note it all the time, but it's worth stating again. They're the foremost state sponsor of terror across the globe.
And by the way, what is we see this Al-Qaeda leader Zawahiri urges Iraq Sunnis to wage guerrilla war as ISIS loses ground. So we've got the head of Al-Qaeda proper telling Sunnis in Iraq that they need to go into insurgency phase now, right?
Yeah, of course. I did see this. This was a Reuters report that came out earlier today. And not surprising. Look, we're witnessing the continuation of a sectarian war in the Middle East. We can't deceive ourselves. Yes, there are terrorist forces mounting, and all of them are very much anti-Western and anti-U.S. But in terms of the region, this is sectarian warfare. The Iranians on one side, ISIS on another side, Al-Qaeda now supporting ISIS. It's in very simple terms, a mess, and we're doing nothing.
Well, we are doing something. We are paying the Iranians some cash and hoping that maybe, I don't know, that influences their behavior one way or another. I mean, I agree we're doing nothing worthwhile, or very little that is worthwhile in the Middle East right now. But the administration, you have a piece up on the Free Beacon about this. They don't want to talk about, this goes back to the issue of the leverage payment, because we don't want to say ransom here, because that's inflammatory. The ransom payment the administration made, it was only a partial, it was a partial amount of the $1.3 billion that we said we were going to give them. And now the administration won't say how the rest of it was given to them. What's going on?
Well, look, they've barely given us the details about the $400 million payment, and you're right, that was just a small fraction of the $1.7. The other $1.3 billion was an interest payment given from U.S. taxpayer funds. So we have that to look at, too. But the only reason we know about how the $400 million was transferred is because of a newspaper reporter, Jay Solomon from the Wall Street Journal, actually did the legwork and was able to get people to talk about it. This wasn't because the administration wanted us to know. And it's very similar with this $1.3 billion payment. I've spoken to the Treasury Department, or at least tried to. I've spoken to the State Department. And neither of them will give the details about this payment. They won't get into it. So, again, we're left to wonder exactly how the money got over there. Was it wire transferred? Was it done in a cash payment again? Who helped bring the money over there? We know we can't send them U.S. funds, so somebody would have had to essentially launder the money by turning it into other currency. All of these things we just don't know. And the second piece of this is that Congress doesn't know either. They can't get answers out of the administration on their end.
Now, this is interesting, too, because Obama came out and said that, and he was very very aggravated, very dismissive as well of people who said that there was anything at all that looked fishy or that smelled fishy about the $400 million cash payment to Iran on this plane. The hostages were held until they knew that this exchange was happening. Okay, fine. He said it's because we are so good at keeping Iran out of the banking system that we can't do this. We won't do the wire transfer. And also there are congressional laws in place that prevent using the banking system to wire, to transfer money to Iran. That's why there had to be a cash payment. So if we were to find out now that, oh, by the way, we also did a wire transfer, then the president would have been lying to the American people. Right. I don't see what the options are. Either we haven't paid them the money. We paid them in cash, in which case we've done more of the $400 million sort of cash pallets for them. Or I think the worst option for the administration is we gave them some cash because they wanted like the unmarked bills to give to whomever. And we also sent them a wire transfer, despite the fact we said that that was illegal. None of these look particularly good for the Obama administration.
No, it would certainly throw a wrench into their rhetoric and their explanation of this. But my gut tells me from reporting on this for years now that it's some combination of these two. I'm not entirely certain that it's possible to turn $1.3 billion into hard currency and get it over to Iran, although it's not out of the realm of possibilities. But I can tell you the money got there somewhere. The Iranians already have it. The administration will confirm that. It's their money now, and it came from a taxpayer fund set up here in the United States. So from that angle, look, there's no strings attached. The Iranian government's already boasted that U.S. money has gone to fund their military. It wouldn't shock me if this money does as well. I can assure you they're not putting it into the economy. They're not putting it into helping their people. They're not putting it into encouraging small business growth or something along these lines.
And what do you think about the incursion that Turkey made into northern Syria yesterday? What do you make of that? This is we've got Turkish tanks, warplanes, special operations going into Syria. This is the sort of the biggest military operation in Syria that the Turkish government has made yet. A lot of moving pieces here. What do you see?
I actually have to say that I'm not particularly surprised by this. This kind of relates back to what we were saying before, the sectarian war that's being waged in the Middle East. Now, the U.S. is not there. We don't have a very strong presence in the region. We've pulled back. We've abandoned our allies. And this is what happens when the U.S. behaves in this manner. We see more and more countries feeling forced into a corner and forced to join this war. Is it going to help matters? Probably not. But I understand why the Turks feel the pressure to have to do this and to say to themselves, we can't have these terrorists on our borders, infiltrating our borders, and potentially recruiting in our country.
And the Kurds and the Turks continue to have this very serious problem, despite the fact that we're using, or we're hoping and continue to use, the Kurdish ground forces as really our most effective proxy against ISIS in northern Syria. So it's interesting. You've got, you know, the Russians backing Assad, who and the Russians engaging in airstrikes against non-ISIS groups as much as they are against ISIS groups. Right. They're just going after anybody who's a threat to the Assad regime. You've got the Turks helping us against ISIS, but also going after the Kurds and dropping bombs on the Kurds. We're assisting the Kurds to fight. I mean, this is a giant freaking mess.
It's a mess, and it's a sectarian war, and that's often how these wars get played out. We use the excuse of ISIS or other terror groups to also target the people that we have longstanding hostility for, and that's what we're kind of seeing with the Turks. And I'd also throw into the equation the Iranians are working with the Russians in Syria as well to combat ISIS, but also, you know, the opponents who want to take out Assad. So, yeah, you're right. It's a mess, and it only gets bigger because the U.S. is not aggressively doing anything in the region. There would be ways for the United States to send messages to get the Russians out of there, but this administration doesn't want to have any of it. They're very war fatigued at this point.
Adam Credo is a senior writer at the Washington Free Beacon covering national security. Read his latest at the Free Beacon. And what's your Twitter handle, sir?
It is Credo Zero, K-R-E-D-O Zero.
All right, team. Those of you who are on Twitter, follow the man. Adam, thank you for calling as always, buddy. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it as well. Thanks for having me.
In the next 19 seconds, you could sell your home. Okay, it's not going to sell your home, you're going to take a big step toward getting it sold. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com and find an agent selected by my team, a professional who shares your values and speaks the truth. Sell your home fast and for the most money. Get moving at realestateagentsitrust.com.